This evening our guest is Neil Cruz, and Neil designs homes. He lives over in the Watsonville area, and he's a good friend of friends of ours. And our friend was just telling us about some of the ideas that Neil has been putting forward about a phenomenon that is sweeping across America, and we've talked about it in the past. It's called The Secret. It's a DVD. It sold out well over 1.5 million DVDs at $29.95 each. They tell me that there are some 3 million copies of the book that goes with that. My wife found them at Costco the other day. I mean, this is an amazing phenomenon. It's put together by a woman named Rhonda Byrne, who is a television producer from Australia, who at a time when her life was in a period of crisis, was given a book about this idea that you can control things through your mind. And then she, of course, then got into contact with a couple here in the United States, the Hicks, Mr. and Mrs. Hicks, and basically they go all over America putting on demonstrations by which Mrs. Hicks becomes possessed by a spirit called Abraham. And Abraham, of course, gives directions to the people in the audience, and I think they pay a couple of $100 to come. 200 or 300 people will show up, put out a couple of $100 to hear Abraham speaking to Mrs. Hicks, who's obviously, or Miss Hicks, who is obviously demonically possessed. But this is a whole concept that is sweeping America today, as people are looking for happiness, for a meaning to life. And of course, many years ago when I was growing up, these concepts of the supernatural were relatively unknown. In fact, when the films came out on The Exorcist back in the late 1970s, early 80s, most people had never heard of demonic possession. I began reading about it. It's quite common throughout the rest of the world, but it wasn't very common here in America until recently. And now there comes almost an obsession with contacting those beings from another dimension who can give you happiness, who can give you success. And that is the message, of course, of the DVD and of the book, that you can learn how to harness the whole of the universe using your own mind. What an amazing concept that you can have wealth, that you can have fame, that you can have relationships. And the statement is made that this is a secret that has been passed down through the generations, and they point out that Plato understood this, and Aristotle, and certainly that Beethoven and Andrew Carnegie, that the Leonardo da Vinci, that Einstein, Emerson, Thomas Edison, they all knew this secret. They knew how to, by utilizing their mind, to begin to control events throughout the world and to make great progress. And they talk about Victor Hugo and, of course, Galileo. Is this true? Can you really contact another dimension and change the world? And the tragedy is you can. And this works for many people. But, of course, it's the danger of your eternal soul, because there is another dimension where the demons live, and you may not believe in it, but it's there. We'll be right back with Neil. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Neil, how did you get involved in writing? I've read your treatise on the secret, and I think it's fascinating. I think you've done a great lot of work, and I really appreciate you giving the information to me.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. And the first thing I'd like to say is thank you for all the work that you're doing and the dedication that you've shown over the years. It's a tremendous service. I just to give you a little bit of background on myself, I got a degree in psychology at Sonoma State University, and essentially their psychology department was based on humanistic psychology. And I discovered later on that basically in the educational system they were trying to move us towards what some of us call secular humanism. And in my first introduction to philosophy here on the Monterey Peninsula, I was introduced to Kierkegaard, and Kierkegaard talked about the need for somebody like Jesus Christ in the story of humanity. But that was the last time I heard about it. Every class on philosophy after that was based on Nietzsche. And I can't tell you how many times I heard, God is dead, God is dead, God is dead. And so I left philosophy after that, and I got sick of it, because I realized this was the message that they were putting out in the educational system at that time. I went on from there. I did the S training at one point, and I went up to San Francisco, got closely involved in the S organization. All the while they were telling us you can have anything you want, you can create anything you want, and my life ended up in disaster, as it did with several people who committed themselves to that goals. I remember a friend of mine having dinner with us one night and say the problem, he told us the problem I have with the S training is that it gives you unrealistic expectations. Now think about that when we hear the messages from The Secret that tells you you can have anything you want. You can be anything you want to be. Those kinds of absolute statements are just not realistic. I discovered a book, I think it was about 20 years ago, written by a man named Waddles, and it was called The Science of Getting Rich. We were so excited by this book that we read it to each other. I probably read the book 3 or 4 times completely. That book is the book that got Rhonda Byrne interested in doing a special on The Secret. I should say that I have not watched The Secret. I've watched the first 20 minutes of it. I've been invited to watch it several times after what I've been through on a similar program.
Hold that thought right there. Yeah, we'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Neil was just telling us that, of course, he had, as so many people, had gotten involved with this movement. He got into EST. He got into this effort to find out how to give meaning to life. He took a degree in psychology, but he found that none of these things was really very satisfying, that they were trying to lead the classes, the students in our state university into the secular humanist belief, and then, of course, as you began getting into some of these other approaches, they began tapping into the supernatural, which, of course, EST and so many of these other things do. But that, of course, is exactly what The Secret does. It is tapping into the supernatural. Now, to many people out there, this idea there's a supernatural is, well, they sort of want to dismiss that. And you dismiss that, of course, at the danger of your eternal soul. There really is another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension to life. And certainly, I've actually seen manifestations of it. I went back to do an interview. Actually, it's for a movie. It came out. We carry it, actually, called America, Nation in Crisis, I believe it is. Anyway, there they had Joyce Riley, a good friend of mine. She had a spoon. Now, there's a major general who worked in the military, and they work with mind control. You have to understand, the military's been working, contacting this other dimension for years, and here's this spoon that this general has taken, and you've heard of bending spoons. This one is into two complete circles. Now, there's no way humanly possible you could do it. I couldn't even budge that spoon, and I still have a lot of strength in my hands. But you can do it supernaturally. There is a supernatural a dimension that you can contact, but you don't want to contact it. Up at the Stanford University, they have their special institute. The Stanford Research Institute has been working for 20 or 30 years going into contacting this other dimension. But it is a demonic dimension. This is what people really don't understand. And the whole idea of The Secret is you can manipulate the universe with your mind. In other words, it's a matter of mind control, mind over matter, the power of positive thinking. Neil was talking about this book on how to grow rich that he had read 20 years ago. But many people, and I've talked to people who've actually delved into this, who centered their thinking totally on wealth or getting a car or getting a boat or getting $1 million, and you can actually, if you focus your attention on it, many times you can accomplish your goal, but At what expense? Because, of course, you've turned your back totally on the teachings of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and you're trying to utilize the supernatural, the other dimension, the dimension that the diviners and of course, the mediums and the fortune tellers and certainly the witches and the Satanists contact, as they contact the beings from the other dimension to get supernatural power. We hear a lot about this on Art Bell and things of that sort, and people are fascinated by it. I don't think they really don't realize that it's real. But do you think that the secret could work for certain people, Neil?
Yes, I do. Let's just say that this type of material, which I'm very familiar with to the point of being exhausted by it, I think that there are a number of good concepts. I think there are a number of truths that are presented in these types of documentaries. There are certain a number of truths in the book, The Science of Getting Rich. Intention does have an effect. What we think about does have an effect. But I guess the question I've got about all this is, what's all this interest in becoming rich about? I took a look at the background behind The Secret, how it was developed and how it came to the United States. And it was first shown, I think, in March of 2006. Ellen DeGeneres picked it up in November of last year, and then it went into Oprah's field and went ballistic at that point. And I'm asking myself, how can something like this be so successful? And it's very interesting to read that some of the people that were behind this and some of the people that funded it said, we purposely wanted this to appeal to the idea of getting wealthy, to the idea of getting rich. So when you read through this material, you can't help but get the impression that the people behind this were marketing experts. Rhonda Byrne herself was the producer for what is the equivalent of the talk show, I think the Don Lane show, in Australia. Well, what if we said to everybody here, did you know that The Secret was produced by the same person who produces The Tonight Show? These people are experts. They spent, I think there was something like $3 million spent on the making of this production. This is not just some person on the side who had a revelation and then started to talk about it, and all of a sudden everybody discovered it. This is a tremendous marketing program. And then you get into the details of the making of the film, the fact that there were two versions of the film, the dispute that arose between Esther and Jerry Hicks and Rhonda Byrne. And you can't help but come up with the feeling that the ethics of the people involved in this are somewhat in question. And this is the point of the dispute between Esther and Jerry Hicks and Rhonda Byrne. So, first of all, you got to wipe the shine off of this stuff. This is a gigantic marketing program. When you look what they're doing on the website, when you look at the plans for the second series on this, they have an industry going here, and it's huge, and it's making a lot of money.
Of course, what bothers me about this is that it's taking people away from what life should really be about. I mean, there are two basic philosophies of life. One of them is, I believe in God. I believe that I should follow the path that God wants me to.
Yes.
And I should, the notion that we should obey God and keep His commandments, that we should fear God and keep His commandments, that we should love God and keep His commandments, as long as we do not, try to be, completely than ourselves. In other words, we do not say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. My goal in life is to be happy. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, the trouble is, in any society where the vast majority of the people do what they want to do, you have moral anarchy, because true freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do. It's the ability to do what you should do according to God's leading, according to God's commandments. The philosophy that we're seeing put forward by The Secret is, well, I am going to manipulate the whole universe around my mind, and I'm going to tap into this supernatural power that is available to me, and then I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to have wealth, and I'm going to have a relationship with people, and I'm going to have fame, and And the thing is that this has been known for centuries, for millennia, that you really can begin to manipulate these demonic forces. But there is a price to pay when you sort of get into this other dimension. And there is this other dimension that's out there. It's very real. And, of course, the price you will pay will be eternal damnation. Now, most people cannot put this into the spirit's perspective. In other words, this looks like a game. What have we got to lose? Let's give it a try. And unfortunately, I believe it will work for many people. But, of course, if nobody ever explains to them the other dimension of what they're getting into, why, of course, they're going to lose their very souls. And the average individual doesn't even understand that there is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of our civilization. And when the majority of people have embraced the other side of the dark side and the beings on the dark side and are directed as Miss Hicks is, and she openly admits that she's actually taken over by Abraham. This is the demonic spirit that speaks to her, and which initially had in the first version of the film, and then, of course, that was taken out. But she actually goes into trances. She's taken over. She speaks with the voice of another human being, or another, I shouldn't say another human being, another entity. And this is was the very basis of this whole phenomenon of The Secret, which was promoted by Ellen DeGeneres and Larry King and Oprah Winfrey and so many of our Hollywood stars, and Jack Cahill of Chicken Soup for the Soul for the Soup, or Chicken Soup for the Soul fame, telling us this is the secret to life. But is it the secret to life, Neil?
Well, I guess that gets down to what really matters to you in life. And what I'm seeing is a gross materialization of everybody's interest. Our society has become one in which it says that the individual now has the right to get ahead at all costs. You know, in America we talk about freedom, but I'm convinced that we now see freedom as nothing more than license.
You're absolutely
I want to get to do whatever I want to do. And The Secret sort of panders to that. I had read two or three comments by some of the people that were included in this special where they felt that some of the more subtle elements of what they had to say were cut from the final production. And I think that, you know, if you expand that out, you can see that the people who produced this said, let's pander to this greed and this, Dr. Stan, you mentioned the phrase, you want to do what you want to do. We have the doctrine, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law that was given to us by Aleister Crowley. The more you read about The Secret, the more you see it kind of belongs to that camp.
It sure does.
And take a look at Harry Potter. You've got magic going here. It's amazing to hear how often the word magic is used by the people who talk about The Secret. Are these things coming from the same place? It begins to look like it.
Well, I don't think there's any question at all they're coming from the same place. These people who are beginning to use their mind are focusing on gaining power. But, of course, that power does not come from them, and it doesn't come from the universe. It comes from the demonic realm. And we'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, Neil, Sydney, have you talked to people, and I know you sent emails to some of your friends, do some of them begin to recognize what we're really talking about? There are a lot of people, of course, if they're not coming from a Christian perspective, they do not believe in the Christian message. They think this is crazy talk. This is what a wonderful thing if we could just find out how to create wealth and success, and it would just come to us. We wouldn't have to do anything. It would be sort of ours just for the asking. It's an intriguing idea, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's a very seductive idea, and as presented in The Secret, it's a very oversimplified idea. How can people help but respond to this and say, hey, I want to get ahead? Or, you know, I was thinking about all the people in this country struggling with their mortgages right now. What a great time to release The Secret. Hey, all you have to do is think in a certain way, and you're going to solve all your problems. Dr. Stan, I took the time to download the press release for The Secret off their website, and and I noticed they have a circle logo. And in that circle logo was a phrase, as above, so below. And I immediately recognized this as a very ancient Hermetic principle. People may be familiar with the Baphomet. The Baphomet is a goat-headed demon with two horns, a beloved symbol of Satanists and Luciferians. And if I could read just this one section here, Levi's famous drawing of Baphomet depicts a male-female image representing the dualistic nature of life, female breast, phallus, one arm masculine, the other feminine, one arm pointing up, and the other pointing down, representing the Hermetic principle of as above, so below. His illustration combines the goat-headed devil of the witches, Sabbat, the god, Templars, and the devil in the tarot cards. A lot of the principles that are presented here, it moves in the direction of magic. It moves in the direction of tempting people to want power. It moves in the direction of saying to people, we're going to give you control of your life so that you can make life go the way you want it to. But when you come before God, in my opinion, and I'm a God-fearing man, I don't want people to think that I'm a Christian per se, but I am definitely a God-fearing man. And when I made a contract with God, you don't get to put any conditions on that. It's either His will or you're not on board. And there are also people who make contracts with Lucifer. I'm watching a documentary about John Lennon that just came out, and this documentary praises him for his political attitudes and so on and so forth and his involvement in the radical movement of the 60s. And I think it was Pastor Schimmel, if I'm saying his name right.
Yes, Joe Schimmel.
Joe Schimmel, who pointed out that some months before John Lennon's death, Yoko Ono arranged a meeting with a Satanist witch and paid $60,000 for the privilege to do so that John Lennon could revise his contract with Satan. John Lennon himself said, I sold my soul to the devil. Mick Jagger, when he was in jail, made a deal with Satan. And the deal was he wanted to be a member of a world-famous rock group. Apparently, Bob Dylan was talking about this on 60 Minutes. You know, when you go out there and you say, I want the world at all costs. I want to look good. I want to be famous. I want to have all the friends I want. I want to have all the money I want. You're making a contract. You may not know it, but the spirits that will come to you...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Neil is simply saying that the basic theme of so many people today is, what do I want? What can I get? And, of course, he was pointing out that John Lennon had shortly before his death, met with the witch to renew his contract, with Satan for the success he had. This is about 6 months before he died. And there really are people out there who've made a contract with the devil. Now, I don't think the average person who sees the film or read the book on The Secret is going to understand where the power is going to come from. Let's imagine that you keep thinking about you'd like to get a new sports car, and that sports car comes to you. Now, do you really think that you've conjured it up, or you're told on the film that you're going to be able to manipulate the universe with your mind, that you have the ability to manipulate the universe with your mind? And if you stop and think about it, do you honestly believe that you can do that? If you do get any of these things, you're going to be getting them from demonic beings from the other dimension.
Absolutely. And you know, one way or the other, you're making a contract. You're either making a contract with the true God, or you're making a contract with the false God. And I have found it very interesting to study the nature of evil, the nature of the Luciferian initiation, and the point that you've already made, Dr. Stan, that I want to underline, is the reason that a lot of this stuff doesn't get understood is that people really don't think that Satan is real. They really don't think that Lucifer is real. They really don't think that evil is real. And so when they see MTV and the Black Sabbath and they see these guys with satanic symbols on their T-shirts and they're having orgies after the shows, they just think it's all a bunch of kids having a good time. they don't realize it's a science. They don't realize that a lot of rock stars have made very explicit contracts with very dark, demonic entities to get where they are. And why did they make those contracts? Because they wanted to be famous, because they wanted to be well-known, because they wanted to be on top of the world. And so when, at least it's my understanding, when a Christian goes before Christ and commits himself to Christ, he's saying, it's up to you to decide what comes into my life. It's up to you to decide what's right for me, because I'm not smart enough to know. And I don't want to take away your authority over my life. So the Satanist does the opposite thing. He goes to Lucifer and he says, you're my God, and I'm going to come to you for whatever I need. And Lucifer says, hey, happy to respond. What do you need? Fame, women, good looks? And it starts getting delivered. And the problem is that person now owes back on the contract. You now have accrued a debt to a spiritual entity. This is very real stuff. And so, sooner or later, you're going to be asked to pay that debt back. Sooner or later, they're going to come to you and say, we want to make a collection, you know, and that collection is of a spiritual nature. So why would anybody, I'm not saying that everybody involved in the secret is a Luciferian, or that these people are knowingly doing these kinds of things. I can't judge that. I can't say that for sure. But I can say that they are getting people excited about an approach to life that is very Luciferian in nature. It's very self-oriented. It's very, what we call in the world of psychology, it's very narcissistic. All about me. There's Madonna's song, Material Girl. She's done other songs about happiness. What is this? Happiness lies in your own hand, for Madonna. It's no mistake that she also studies the Kabbalah. And you read about a great many people in Hollywood that are witches. They are trained to be witches. They are studying the science of power over other people. And they do not use this stuff in kind ways. Zeff Daniels did a great report on a specific rock star, Courtney Love, and that she probably arranged to have Kurt Cobain killed in a satanic system, in a satanic process, that would then give her the power to become as famous as she is today. Okay, so this is all through the rock industry. It's all through the Hollywood movie industry. And when you see something like The Secret, you have to ask how much of this is coming from that same place, that same direction.
Well, I think it all is. I don't think that everybody involved has any idea, because I don't think that most people really believe there's another dimension out there. They may be fascinated, you know, listening to Art Bell and all of these incredible stories of these supernatural events, but they can't put it together. Nobody has connected the dots. There is a supernatural. There are supernatural forces. There is a God who has a plan for your life. And there's the devil who would like to claim your eternal soul. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Neil Cruz. And Sifting of Neil has done a tremendous job. He's sent me about 12 pages of material I had gotten, and certainly articles from the New York Times and other newspapers by people who have analyzed this phenomenon. But they're looking at it from purely a secular point of view. In other words, here's the phenomenon. Here's somebody who's got a very successful DVD that's selling right now. My latest figure I've heard is about 1.5 million copies of the DVD at $29.95 each. And then, of course, the book is about 3 million printed, being distributed through Costco all across America. And certainly, once you get on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she endorses this, and Oprah has said that this is true, that she's excited that people are going to learn this. And, of course, Larry King seems to have the same approach to this. Jim Carrey has endorsed these concepts. And when you understand that this is going to attract so many people who are searching, who are lost, who don't really understand that happiness is not going to come from obtaining material things by tapping into the supernatural. Happiness, of course, is going to come by being in proper relationship with the Lord who made us and by following His plan for our lives and doing the best we can, certainly looking to Him for our leadership. And if we don't look to Him for leadership, why, and we try to do things on our own. In other words, certainly, we have to work, we have to live here, but we have to look to Him for direction to find out what's right and what's wrong, because we ourselves are incapable. Oh, we may say, yes, we know what's right and wrong, but we're all basically sinful people. And, of course, we can be swept up so easily in doing what we shouldn't, but God's rules are very straightforward. And we certainly, when you ask Him what needs to be done, you know what needs to be done. He's got the laws that are out there. You go to the Scriptures, you read the Scriptures. You see what's happened to people in the past who gave into their lusts, and although they may have been forgiven, there was always a tremendous, tremendous price to pay for doing the right thing. And for those people who simply follow God and keep His commandments, why, life is really very simple. For those of people who try to do it on their own, of course, a life can go from disaster to disaster to disaster. And I fear many people getting into the secret are going to find out it leads to great success for a time, but only for a time. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Neil, because Neil has done a lot of analysis on this, and certainly he's studied this. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Neil, do you think that this is going to have an impact on our society?
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think that when you combine this with the series of Harry Potter, and when you look at, there was an excellent documentary also done by Joe Schimmel called The Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War Against God. When you get into this across several lines, the lines of fiction coming out, The Secret, all of these different productions that are making a big splash, for a while you think they're all different. They're all just sort of disconnected things. But then you start to look and you see a similar thread going through all of it. And this is what I refer to as sort of the secularization of the world. I remember Alan Watt, a gentleman that you interviewed not too long ago, Dr. Stan, I believe.
Yes.
Not Alan Watts, but Alan Watt, no S on the end. And he said the plan of the Illuminati is to, first of all, de-religionize the population. Take them away from God and make them atheists. Once they have made them atheists, the next plan is to make them Luciferian. And that's the shortest message I can give you as to what all of this is doing. It is basically getting the entire society of the world interested in lower order types of things, interested in sex, interested in power, interested in having everything you want, interested in material benefit. Now, also, to be clear, not everybody, not all of the speakers in The Secret are just talking about pure materialism. They are spreading it out a little bit and talking about other things. But the general gist of the way this thing has been marketed is from the standpoint of getting ahead in the world. And I thought that, if you're really a spiritual person, then let's commit to that. Why are we always putting all of our attention and energy into getting ahead in the world? But Dr. Stan, there's more to it than that. There's some subtle dimensions to this positive thinking business. And some of them, I think, are very dangerous. And one of the dimensions to positive thinking is that basically I think that positive thinking is an inoculation to prevent people from being infected by the truth. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to people and tried to tell them about what you tell people about the kinds of things that are on your show every week, And the most common response I get is, you know, Neil, I need to stay positive. There's nothing more important to me than being positive in my mind. And when you start telling me about that stuff, that's negative stuff. And if I start hearing about it, it's going to make me negative, and then it's going to bring it into my life. So what I say to them is, look, when your doctor calls you up after some tests and says to you, you better come down to my office, I think we need to talk. You say to him, listen, doctor, if you've got any negative information, I don't want to hear it, because that's going to make me negative, and it's going to get me down, and it's going to ruin my program of positive thinking. Or do you say, doctor, I need to know what's going on, because if I don't know, I can't fix it. It's the same thing with these dark elements to you know, if you commit yourself to learning the truth about this world, let me tell you, there are some really dark truths, some really difficult things to listen to and to find out and to realize. When you know, essentially, this planet and the human race is dominated by Luciferian individuals, by people who worship at the feet of Lucifer. John Todd used to talk about, he would get instructions from the Rothschilds in England. John Todd, by the way, was head of a 13-member Grand Druid Council, I believe, in Texas. They would get packages delivered to them from the Rothschilds in England. And in those packages were instructions on what to do, delivered personally from Lucifer to the Rothschilds. So Lucifer himself, sending instructions to the Rothschilds, they're coming by special courier overseas to John Todd at the Grand Druid Council, and Lucifer's saying, okay, here's what you're going to do next. How much more real can it get? I watched a documentary about a rock star program for young children. This was off the shelves of Blockbuster. And it's for children, in, I believe, age 8 to 16, 8 to 18, something like that, to teach them how to be rock stars. And there's one scene where the guy says to the kids, hey, we know what this is all about. This is all about Satan, right? And all the kids go, yeah, this is all about Satan. I almost fell out of my chair. I'm going crazy. How can people watch this documentary and not just have fear run through their very hearts? Well, the reason that they can is because when they hear that, oh, Lucifer doesn't exist, say, that's just kid stuff. They're just having fun. There's nothing real to that. There's nothing to worry about. Well, isn't it interesting that when we go through a lot of this channeled material, and I actually took a look at some specifics from the Abraham Hicks publications to verify the same thing, we see a lot of this channeled material spends a lot of time telling people there is no evil, there is no Lucifer, there is no Satan. Well, I know they're real. I've had two run-ins personally with Lucifer, so nobody's telling me he doesn't exist. All the people who do exorcism can give you countless stories about how demons have said that they're just following the instructions of Lucifer. There's a man by the name of Howard Pittman who, in a near-death experience, was taken by, I believe, by Jesus Christ, and he was shown the demonic realms, and he was shown the hierarchy that Lucifer uses to control the world. So once you get that it's real and you stop listening to all this New Age nonsense, and by the way, one of the people in The Secret, one of the instructors is Neil Donald Welsh, Conversations with God. When I was working with a psychic some time ago, one of them said to me, by the way, he is not talking to God. He is talking to spirit entities and more than one. That's where he's getting his information from. Well, sure enough, Neil Donald Walsh, when it gets to Lucifer, and he says, no, there is no Lucifer. That's just sort of an imaginary concept. Evil doesn't really exist. There's just lesser degrees of love and compassion. No, evil is real. When you sign on with Lucifer, you change. You become a different kind of person, and there are people who talk about the transformation of a person who accepts the Luciferic initiation. Bill Schnevelin is one of them who gets into detail. And one of the effects of Luciferian initiation is that when you do harm to other people after being initiated, you get strength from it. You get benefit. You feel strength. strong, you feel healthy, you feel good. And then you discover that, that hurting other people, taking advantage of other people, instead of feeling guilty about it, you feel good about it. And so that's why they call it sort of, Luciferianism is the mirror world of the world that those who follow Jesus Christ and those who follow the true God live in. It's the exact opposite. And when we look at The Secret, oh, by the way, what I did was I looked at the Abraham Hicks publication, and I found a gentleman who addressed them, and he said, look, I'm a chiropractor and a naturopath, and I'm worried about so-called secret government and health cover-ups and stuff like this. And in the response that Abraham gives to that, essentially what Abraham says is, you know, if you keep thinking that way, you're going to start turning yourself into a victim, because all that stuff, well, maybe it exists, maybe it doesn't, maybe there's conspiracy, but you shouldn't be thinking about that. If you start thinking about it, you're going to attract it to yourself. You're going to bring that into your life. So don't be thinking about conspiracy. And besides that, as we say, and I'm quoting, it's a self-perpetuated conspiracy. You see, using the technology of The Secret, oh, that's all in your mind. You know, you're just attracting that. You're bringing it to yourself. I've had friends say to me, Neil, the reason that you're not more successful, the reason you don't have more money, is all that conspiracy research doing. And I say, well, what's that got to do? Well, it's negative. It's negative material. It's going to bring you down. It's going to... So we have this culture that comes out of The Secret that says, if you're not feeling happy, something's wrong. To quote from some more of the Hicks material, are you selfish enough to feel good? Nothing matters more than that I feel good. You must be selfish enough that you are willing to feel good. You have to reach the place where you say, nothing matters more to me than that I feel good. Okay? That's a prescription that promotes pharmaceuticals. Don't you think that'd be a wonderful way to sell Zoloft and Prozac? And I've had several people suggest to me, maybe I would do well on some of these pharmaceutical drugs so that I could be happy all the time. So, you see, all of a sudden now, anything to do with conspiracy is negative. You can't read that. And so it inoculates people. And this is a deliberate and intentional program behind this kind of positive thinking message that is put out there. And you hear that from these people all the time. Don't be thinking about Lucifer. Don't be thinking about the demonic realms. You're just going to bring it into your life. Well, that's the same as going to the doctor and saying, doctor, if I have a disease, I just don't want to know. Or if your friend is crossing the street and he doesn't see a truck bearing down on him, and you want to tell him, you know, and you know your friend, don't tell me about that truck. It's just negative. You shouldn't tell him? You should let the truck run him over? So this is nonsense. And it breeds a type of thinking and a type of condition in our mind that makes us impervious to seeing evil, impervious to seeing what is really going on behind the scenes. And that is a deliberate... I'm not saying that, by the way, again, 52 people were interviewed under cameras for The Secret. Only 24 appeared in the final published version, to my knowledge. This is going to go on for some time. I'm not saying all those people are consciously aware of these things. But this is what's behind this message. It provides several different things for the negative agenda. Not just one, but several. And people have to become aware. I think that's what got to me over time. Was number one, I saw that number one, this doesn't work. It really works for people who love the world and who have no interest in telling the truth and who will sell out their friends and family to get ahead. It works really good for them. But I find that most of the people that have had really hard lives, that have gone through a great deal of suffering, like my brother who took his own life in 42, if I had handed this stuff to him, he just would have started laughing so hard. He, you know, it's insane. Because he knew the value of the suffering, the tremendous suffering that he went through. It changed him deeply, and it changed me. And if we we haven't had that tremendous pain, the tremendous difficulty, he and I would have never resolved our differences before he took his life. I don't condone suicide. I know that's not a good thing. But what I'm saying is there is a real place for suffering and hardship. There is a real place for struggle in this life. And those people who get behind the secret and make it their religion, and that's what this is. This is a religion of materialism. And what it's going to do is it's going to force a lot of people to contract with negative entities, demonic entities, worldly entities, and it's just going to further the negative agenda on a wholesale scale.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think you've said it very, very well, Dale. And basically, you know, what draws me closer to the Lord is to realize that there really is evil out there, and I am incapable of addressing this personally. I have to rely upon Him, and I have to depend upon Him for my safety. In fact, what we do here at Radio Liberty, speaking on these issues, there is no way we could possibly survive without the Lord's protection. Well, let's go to Paul, who's calling from Ohio. Paul, did you have a comment on what we're discussing?
Yes, I also wanted to tell you we were off the air for about a minute and a half, just as he was going into the Lennon situation, really.
You're talking about shortwave?
Right.
Well, of course, that seems to happen very frequently, but we don't worry about it. We have to do our best, Paul. But thank you for mentioning it. Anything you'd like to comment on?
I'd just like to say that, have you heard of a fellow named Leo Gagami?
No, I really haven't.
He departed from the Illuminati, and he's talking really big. He's telling it all.
Oh, is he the fellow who's over in Norway?
He's from Italy. I don't know if he's in Norway.
Yeah, he's in Norway right now.
Yes.
We're having him on the program here before long.
Yes, I left a message with Barbara about the website and everything and the Google search to do to contact him.
We've always been in contact, but thanks very much, Paul. I appreciate it. We'll look forward to having him on.
Well, when do you think you might have him on?
Well, I don't know. We've got to wait and get till we get hold of him. But God bless him. Thanks so very much.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
He's due for an operation, and I think that's where they're going to get him.
Well, let's see. Let's hope not. Anyway, let's go to Herman calling. Hi, Herman. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes. I'm fascinated by your comments, Neil, and I think there's a lot of validity to what you say, but I think a lot of our listeners, I would certainly hope, are not into Luciferianism. And, you know, I was, as you were speaking, I'm thinking about a man driving down the road, and if he stays within the speed limit and he doesn't go over the shoulder off the cliff, he's going to do just fine. Now, many people in America are living in negative circumstances, and what is wrong with just plain positive thinking without selling your soul to the devil? I mean, you had Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, sold millions of copies. You've got a strong Baptist Christian, Zig Ziglar, who goes around the country, and he preaches positive thinking with affirmations and visualizations, goal setting. I mean, I'm not talking about making a contract with the devil.
All right, let's Neil answer that, because we're just about out of time.
Okay.
How would you respond to what Herman's asking?
That's a very good question, Herman. Let me read from you a section out of Paul Tuttle's book. You see, the flaw in the power of positive thinking lies in the fact that it assumes that if one does not engage in positive thinking, the universe will not unfold itself in a positive manner. So this theory and practice creates a fundamental distrust of the universe itself, and I would say of God itself. This, of course, puts one at odds with the self and with divine will. And so positive thinking is basically a statement of lack of trust. You're saying, God, what you're giving me is not good enough. I need to help you out. Here's my order. Please have it.
I think that's well said. And thanks very much, Herman.
Thank you.
Well, Neil, I think it's been a fascinating hour, and I really appreciate so very much your input in it. And I would simply comment that when we actually think that we are going to run the world, that we're going to save the world, that we're going to remake the world, we have to realize that God is there. God has a plan. God is giving us free will, and boy, are we making a mess out of the world. And what really bothers me so much is that the denominational leaders, we haven't heard any of the major denominational leaders or the nominal leaders of the Christian faith speaking out against this truly demonic movement that's sweeping across our country, because either they don't know or they don't understand. We know that some of them are actually part and parcel of that. We saw this with Mr. Haggard, who led the 30 million person National Council of Evangelicals. 30 million Christians in the National Council of Evangelicals, headed by Ted Haggard, who was a homosexual and a drug dealer, and I personally believe he was deeply involved with the dark side, the dark spiritual side, because I believe there's a spiritual element to homosexuality. So we got a real problem in Christendom today, and of course we're trying to sound the alarm, and I agree with you totally. I believe that, of course, what's wrong with the power of positive thinking is we're trying to substitute ourselves for God. Would that be a fair estimate of what you're saying?
Yes, yes, exactly. And why would you need to do that? I mean, if you really trust in God, if you've really given yourself over to Him, how can you possibly improve on what He delivers into your life every day? Why would you want to get in the way of what the will of God is giving to you? I mean, okay, maybe He wants you in prison. Maybe He wants you to die from cancer. Maybe He wants you to get very rich and help a lot of people. Why wouldn't you want to say to God, deliver to me whatever you think I should have, instead of saying, God, by the way, in case you're not paying attention, I need a new Ferrari, and I need this, and I need that. He's not a gopher, you know? And this is the whole orientation that comes out of this is, hey, forget about God. You take charge of your life. Do it your way, not His way. There's no humility in that. There's no devotion in that. And there's no real dignity in that. A little statement from, there's a treatise by Michael Topper, and it's called Why You Don't Create Your Own Reality. And one of the things he says is, it may be seen that unimaginable effectiveness results when the expression of one's personal will is not different than or removed from the spirit of divine will.
Amen to that. Hey, we're out of time, Neil. God bless. Thanks so very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stanley.
Good night.